A delegation of 8 First Nations Cabbage Tree Islanders from the Northern Rivers of New South Wales are in New York City this week to speak at a United Nations forum. Their story of determination to return home after the 2022 Northern Rivers floods and landslides bears similar themes to many forced to evacuate at the time. The Wires contributor from Bay FM, Mia Armitage, asked chairperson of the Jali Local Aboriginal Land Council, Kylie Jackie, where Cabbage Tree is located.
Cabbage Tree Island is the only residentially populated island of many along the Richmond River. Cabbage Tree Island is situated in the lower Richmond River near the township of Wardell. Our community on Cabbage Tree Island has been living on that island for a little over 140 years now. Traditionally, Cabbage Tree Island is known as Mungongbin, meaning the bulrush reeds. It's an island that had a lot of reeds, a lot of cabbage tree palms, hence the name Cabbage Tree Island, abundant with wildlife, and was used traditionally as a burial ground. However, our ancestors sought refuge there. Many families today who are descendant of those ancestors have remained on Cabbage Tree Island. And in about 1890, the New South Wales government, with the Aborigine Protection Board and the pretty prejudicial policies of the day, took control over Cabbage Tree Island and gazetted it as a reserve where a lot of draconian rules were overlaid over our ancestors. But since then, and in 1983, with the extension of the Aboriginal Land Rights Act, Jali Local Aboriginal Land Council was established, and since then we've been self-determining Cabbage Tree Island and many other lands that have been granted to the Land Council, and our community's been living with a lot of agency and contributing to the local economy. A lot of our men were sugarcane labourers. Our island actually had shares in the sugarcane farm, so big contributors to the local economy in the legacy. Worked with even the Red Cedar Getters at the time of colonisation. We've got one of the oldest Aboriginal public schools in New South Wales, which came out of pretty discriminatory laws where public schools were able to expel Aboriginal students based on race. So our ancestors fought hard for our own school. Cabbage Tree Island means a lot of our ancestors' will and resilience and power. It's got a strong traditional roots to us. It reminds me of my father and my grandparents, and it's very much that sentiment of many of those of us that have since moved off of Cabbage Tree Island, our families, but live nearby and but still very much see Cabbage Tree Island as our home place, kind of the epicenter for the Ngiyambal people as far as our cultural identity.
So the Ngiyambal people, let's move now from Cabbage Tree Island, a small island in the Richmond River, to New York City. A delegation of 8 Cabbage Tree Islanders headed there. What for?
We've got the opportunity to take our grassroots story of the experiences of our Cabbage Tree Island family members, residents, to the stage on New York at the United Nations Forum. Really, our purpose is to tell the story of the long-term displacement that had occurred from the 2022 floods. Most of your audience may not know, still today, nobody's returned back to home on Cabbage Tree Island since the flood. Central to that was unilateral decision-making by particularly government and external peoples to Jali and Cabbage Tree Island. More importantly, the voices of Cabbage Tree Island residents were just not in the centre, were not even in the frame of coming up with options around pathways to permanent homes for those families that were directly impacted by those floods in 2022. We want to share the story around not only what went wrong, but a really strong character, as you may have picked up in the history of Cabbage Tree Island, of our community. We will advocate and lobby for what's right for majority collective of our community, and what needed to happen was for government to listen to our people's voice, all of our voices. We lobbied hard, and 2 years after the floods, we were able to turn the corner with government and work constructively around assessing and working on pathways for our community to have their dignity back and their voices heard, and to find pathways back to their permanent homes, most of which are on their way home to return to Cabbage Tree Island, hopefully by the end of this year.
How many people are we talking about?
Approximately 130. 30 people were evacuated and then in long-term displacement, living in temporary pod village accommodation.
Yes, and that would be the temporary pod village in Wardell?
That's correct.
How have they been going in that pod village?
Look, without seeming to be ungrateful, given that it's not been a temporary arrangement, it's actually been a long-term housing situation, there's been a lot of strains and challenges for the residents on Cabbage Tree Island. Nevertheless, the organisations involved have been providing really supportive services, but social health and wellbeing pressures
from the displacement itself, from not having a voice, and from living in such close confined spaces, everything being uprooted in their lives and not being able to recover in a timely way has left most of their experiences to be really challenging and impacting on people's health and social well-being.
You said that the community managed to turn a corner in 2 years after the disasters. That'd be 2024. And I recall reading about the meetings with the New South Wales Minister David Harris.
Yep.
Understand the outcomes were positive in terms of the ability of the community to return home. So I'm guessing that the change of government has also played a role in some of the politics that might form a context for determination.
Yeah,
is that how
I
you see it?
The way I see it, Mia, is two things. Our relentless community advocacy, the leadership that our local Member of Parliament for Ballina, Tamara Smith, has played in lobbying as well. And also locally, at that time frame, there was a change in the board composition of our JALI, Local Aboriginal Land Council. Those three things, I believe, were really the catalyst for turning the corner rather than about the government.
So it's going to happen. There was some funding announced. Could you tell us a bit about the funding?
JALI's been allocated or earmarked approximately $30 million for our flood recovery housing from the 2022 flood events. We've been able to acquire 8 properties on dry high ground for those Cabbage Tree Island families that just don't want to live through another flood. And that was very much centred on tenant-informed consultations about their own pathways to their own permanent homes. But every other family wants to return home to Cabbage Tree Island. We've been able to engage a company, JDA & Co, who are very well renowned with 3 decades under their wings in building with resilient materials for housing for things such as climate impacts, particularly floods. So we'll have resilient build of the current homes on Cabbage Tree Island, which there's approximately 19. We've got approval to raise those homes, not all of them need it, to be more closely aligned to the probable maximum flood level. They will very unlikely have any flood water inundation because the 2022 floods wasn't even at the probable maximum flood level. And it's all within the envelope of the budget being earmarked, Mia, from New South Wales government and Australian government. At the moment, we're tracking really well to hopefully have families back in their homes by the end of the year.
So it sounds like you're not really going to the United Nations with any sort of a complaint. It sounds to me, tell me if I'm right, that it's more maybe an opportunity for sharing these stories so that others can learn from it. So how does that sound as a guest at what the trip's about?
Look, I reckon you had a good stab at it, Mia. Our complaint is really simple. No community, but particularly under the United Nations Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, which Australia as a state has signed up to, no Indigenous community in Australia should ever have their voice put to the sidelines around where their whole community should be relocated and permanently displaced. Community needs to be front and centre of that decision making, and that loss of dignity and voice has protracted our community in temporary living for 2 years. It could have been much sooner a return home if government would have applied what's referred to as free prior informed consent with our community, which is having our community collective voice at the table to determine the pathways home. That didn't happen. We are really worried as a nation, and with climate impact predicted to happen more often, that if we don't learn from this, we won't be able to lobby government to apply appropriate policies and practices around how our voices are put front and centre around decision making, around any type of resettlement or pathways home due to natural disasters or climate impact. It was only pure grit by our community that we turned the corner. It wasn't through government policy or government principles or practices. And so we worry that what we've experienced at Cabbage Tree Island will be replicated across the nation if we don't raise this issue and make it well known.
Kylie, Jackie, I understand you'll also be mentioning concerns about proposed changes to how Crownland in New South Wales is managed.
The proposals put on the table through the Crownland Management Act statutory review, so that bill, in my understanding, very simply, will pretty much extinguish the very core function of the role of land councils or for JALI, Local Aboriginal Land Council, which has our legal right to make applications or a claim on eligible Crown land. It will very much eliminate that. For that to occur after decades of activism and protests by our ancestors through land rights movements across Australia and internationally without any consultation, without any policy rigour around assessment and analysis is a really huge hit to the gut and has implications for our future generations. We're not fighting for this issue to be about something now. We're fighting for this issue for my grandchildren and great-grandchildren.
Do you think that that is going to get through?
Subsequent to the bill hitting the floor through that parliamentary process, they've been told to now go and consult. It's a bit back the front, really. Now, the consultation was a 23rd hour passing by the night commentary from our peak body, the New South Wales and British Land Council, where due diligence would say something as significant as this that would pretty much disable the land rights movement. We'd want at least a week or a couple of weeks to consider. The New South Wales government agencies have been told now to come back and consult and then to bring back that consultation with the proposals to be fully considered. It reinstalls your faith back into our democratic processes, because that should have been done prior to it going that far.
Chairperson of the Jali Local Aboriginal Land Council, Kylie Jackie there, speaking with Bay FM's Mia Armitage.